won, and they're gonna put a big flag out there in a moment, because the Eagle has landed for the premiership in 2018.
Welcome to the Centre Square Podcast on Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. I'm Bray Loveridge, and joined with me today is Ethan Roth and Noah Tonkin. Boys, how are we?
Yeah, good, Bray. Good to be back here for the last Centre Square episode for 2019. Noah?
Yep, good to wrap up the season. Good to be here.
Yeah, as always, great to be here. And, of course, we had a big grand final on the weekend just gone. And we're going to review the season of 2019, all the highs and lows, trade news, and our normal segments. But boys, we have a big special guest today, our first current AFL player with the Simply Energy leading goal kicker in the Waffle in 2018, Subiaco Colts Premiership player in 2018, pick 8 in the mid-season draft to St Kilda, and wears the number 48 for the Saints. It is Jack Mayo. How are we?
Good, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Great to have you, of course.
Yeah.
Ethan, over you.
Yeah, so obviously 19, pretty young, just got drafted by St Kilda. But we'll start from the beginning, growing up in the northern suburbs of Perth and playing for Kareen Junior Footy Club. How was that, and was footy a big passion for you always growing up?
Yeah, absolutely, footy was a big passion. During the winter it was always footy, in summer it was cricket, so I guess like any sporting young boy, I was just all over my sports. Footy probably took the cake during the winter months, just loved following all the AFL seasons that went by and barracking for my teams, etc. But it was very enjoyable, so I took a lot out of junior footy. I enjoyed it a lot and still have a lot of friendships from that to this day.
Yeah, so you would have finished junior footy about 2 years ago?
Yeah, so last year was my last year of Colts, so that was underage footy. But I was injured for the last couple of years, so there was a bit of a break in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you touched on with Colts, what was that 2018 season like where you kicked 50 goals and broke the 29-year drought to win the premiership with Supercolts?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Subiaco Colts for a long time weren't that successful. So to finally come out on top and win a flag was exceptional. We had a great group of boys who had sort of stuck together from 14s to 15s, and then sort of it all came together for 1 year. We were all playing great footy and got on really well as mates. So it was great to kick a couple of goals along the way, but more importantly, it was great to win a flag.
Bo Waterman, he obviously won that Colts premiership as the coach, carried on to the league side, so they won the premiership this year.
Obviously, moving into this season, I believe you made your league debut for Subiaco and played a couple of games. The mid-season draft was just brought into the AFL. Can you tell us the process in gaining notice for the Saints and other clubs who first approached you during that period?
I was a bit different for me, and it ended up, I think, the mid-season draft sort of suited me a bit, because before the start of last year, I'd been injured for 2.5 years, so I hadn't played any footy, and therefore recruiters didn't know who I was or if I could kick a footy straight, etc. So last year, the 2018 season, was very much me just trying to sort of play some good continuous footy, and got a bit of notice along the way from recruiters. But come draft day in 2018, probably it didn't go my way, probably because I didn't have enough continuity behind me. So moving forward into a senior system at Subiaco, the fact that I could, you know, put on a bit of size over the off season and really get a good pre-season behind me probably helped me in gaining some attention from St Kilda and a couple of others. And lucky enough, it went my way on draft night in May.
Yeah, of course.
So with that draft night, getting picked up with pick 8, did you 100% know you were going to get taken? Where were you at the time, and who were you with?
Oh, it was an odd one, because it was a Monday night was the draft, and I was at uni on Monday, and St Kilda had interviewed me the week before, as had a couple other clubs, and I was optimistic at my chances, but I wasn't certain. And it was about midday, and I was sitting in the library at Curtin Uni just doing my study, and get a call from Chris Liberatore, who's the national recruiting manager at St Kilda. And I thought, oh, here we go, probably some bad news, you know, I might not be a shout here. And I picked it up. He goes, hey Jack, how you going? And anyway, long chat, he goes, just because of a few circumstances, I'm actually going to tell you that if you're still there at pick 8, we'll draft you, which was hugely exciting for me. I nearly dropped the phone in the middle of the library and all that. But just because St Kilda had the bye the week after, and they were going to China in a couple of days, they needed to get me over there at 6 o'clock the next morning.
Yeah.
So he thought he'd let me know before the draft so I could actually prepare and watch the draft, because I wasn't planning to. I was going to go to footy training. So after that, I was extremely excited, of course, and ditched uni for the day and Went home and packed everything up, and I was sitting on the couch with mum, dad, and a couple of mates. Only mum and dad knew, so the mates didn't know, so yeah. It was good to get their reaction as well. But it was a bit of relief when he called my name out, because, you know, he can tell you he's going to draft you, but yeah. You can't be sure about it. So it was incredibly exciting and a bit of relief as well when he called my name.
Yep. When you getting interviewed by the Saints, like, what sort of stuff did they talk about and, like, ask you?
It varies from recruiter to recruiter, so yeah. Like, everyone does it a little bit differently. I had 3 interviews with St Kilda over 2018 and then this year. The first one was very casual, very sort of a bit more relaxed, just to sort yeah. of get to know you as a person a bit. And then the 2 this year, one of them was a bit more relaxed in a cafe with Chris Liberatore. Yeah. The other one was a bit more intense. That was with St Kilda's list manager.
Yeah.
But they sort of ask you a lot of questions about, you know, your football and your mindset around your footy. And from what I've gathered, they don't take everything you say 100%, because, of course, people yeah. can, you know, make things up in an interview just to put on a front. But they do a lot of background research. They talk to, you know, your footy coaches at Subiaco, Peven teachers at school. They do a lot of research to get to know you as a person. So when you walk through the doors day one at St Kilda or wherever you are, they know who you are as a person. They know what you're going to get. So there's a lot of research behind it.
Any other clubs interested, or just Saints?
Last year we had Sydney, who were probably tricking us a bit, a bit of North Melbourne as well. And this year it was St Kilda and then Sydney as well. And Hawthorn came hard pretty late, but
yeah.
obviously I was probably happy to go to St Kilda. They'd probably been the most upfront with me the whole way through, so it was good, yeah.
Yeah. Was it a hard transition going to Melbourne, or was it just like you were there to play footy and just really wanted to be there?
Yeah, it was tough, no doubt, because it was in the middle of the year, and as mm-hmm. I said, I was doing uni and playing footy here. Of course, going there to live your dreams, fantastic, but you don't expect on May 27th to be uprooted and moved to the other side of the country. So it had challenges, but, you know, you embrace them because you want to play footy. Yeah. You're there to do what you love. So whilst it was hard at times, and I'm glad to be home now for the off-season, it was certainly very rewarding.
Yeah, of course.
Can you tell us about Alan Richardson's influence on you early on before his departure, and now recently what Brett Ratten has been like to the club yeah. and yourself?
Richo, I didn't get a lot of time under Richo, unfortunately, but from the limited time I did have with him, he seemed like a fantastic football brain, really honest, genuine and caring bloke. He cared about his players, which was evident to see. So it was sad to see him go, because he's a great football head, and that's evident with the fact that he's at Melbourne now. You know, other teams want to have him on board in some capacity. And with Rats, he was a line coach when I first got there, actually the forwards line coach. So I had a little bit to do with him before he took over as caretaker coach. He's a very friendly guy, really enthusiastic about his footy, and that really rubs off on the players. Like, you know, you can see the players just feed off that enthusiasm yeah. for footy, and it creates a very good vibe around the club.
Yeah, he's pretty experienced, so that helps as well. Been at a few clubs now, so yeah,
definitely.
So you are enjoying some off-season time here in Perth as we speak. Before you depart again later this month, for all Saints fans listening out there who may not know a lot about you, can you tell them about the way you play and what can they expect to see in the future?
Hopefully it's sort of along the lines of a third tall forward,
yep.
Running sort of my strength for my height, so maybe along the lines of a Jack Gunston if we can ever get there. That's sort of
yep.
the mould of player I'd probably like to play like. Third tall forward, but I think there's a bit of flexibility there with my running capacity, and if the team needs, I can hopefully put on a bit of size and play a little bit more key position depending on the ebbs and flows of a footy list.
Yeah,
Of course, and also, as you just touched on, as Ethan said, what the St Kilda fans can expect. What are some of your goals for next year? Do you have any goals?
I'd love to get through the pre-season, firstly, injury-free. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a good 4 or 5 months' worth of really solid running and prep. From there, obviously, hopefully to crack a game in the ones and go from there. But I'm just really looking to improve myself now. Longer term, I'd love to get in the team and have some success with the club, because I think St Kilda been out of finals for a few years now, and we'll be looking to rectify that next year.
Yeah, cool. Hopefully you can go into the top 8.
Mm.
So now we're going to do, obviously, this last in a square episode for 2019. We're going to go around the desk saying our highlight, disappointment, surprise of the AFL season. So, Bray, we'll start with you.
Yeah, no worries. All right, my highlight of the year has to be GWS winning that prelim against Collingwood. It was probably a really big upset. of the final series, and no one was really expecting it. So that's why I put that as my highlight. My disappointment was when the crowd booed Scott Pendlebury when he won the Anzac medal on Anzac Day this year, which is really unnecessary. And, of course, the surprise of the year is, well, the coaches going out and caretakers coming in, as there was, I believe it was 5 clubs sacking and resigning coaches. So that was a really big surprise after we've had the same coaches for the last couple of years. So that was definitely my surprise. Ethan, what about you?
Yeah, my highlight, obviously, as a Fremantle supporter, had to be Nat Fyfe's second Brownlow medal. Not a good year, I guess you could say, for Fremantle. Not too many highlights, but I thought had a good year. My disappointment had to be Melbourne Demons. I had them as my premiers for this year. They made a prelim last year, and I just thought, like, if you told me they would have finished 17th at the end of this year, I wouldn't have believed you. And my surprise would be Brisbane. They finished top two. I thought they might scrape in the 8, but didn't expect them to finish that high.
Yeah, mine's a bit Fremantle based. But my highlight, same as Rothy's, was 5 second Brownlow. Disappointment was Fremantle not making finals after the start and the sort of mid-year patch which they had when they beat teams like GWS and Collingwood all the way.
Yeah, inconsistent.
Yeah, and my surprise was at the time which it came pretty or really late in the year when they sacked Ross Lyon. I remember I was in class and Bray just chucked it up on the lappy and I was like, no way. But that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, obviously Justin Longmuir just been announced coach a few days ago, so hopefully he can do well and get us back to that mark where we were about 2014, 2015, 2013 when we were doing really well.
Hopefully.
Jack, do you have anything, surprise, highlights, disappointments from this season?
I was really impressed with GWS's finals run in general. I thought probably 6 or 7 weeks out from the finals they looked pretty cooked, but to sort of get that resolve as a group and win a lot of close finals and unfortunately go down the big day was really exciting to watch from afar. I really enjoyed watching that.
Yep. All right, Ethan, hand over to you now.
So obviously the free agency and trade periods are starting to begin now that the season is done. So I've got a few trade news that has happened during the week. So the certainties, I think, that will get done is Tim Kelly requesting a trade to West Coast. I think that will get done. There's been talk about him going to Fremantle, but I think he strongly wants to go to West Coast. They're probably obviously a bit more of a successful club, and I think his family want him to go there as well. So I think that will get done. Hugh Greenwood and Brandon Ellis have both requested trades to the Gold Coast. I think Hugh Greenwood, he's a pretty good player, probably just looking to get a lot more game time at the Suns, and Brandon Ellis probably just wants a fresh start Gold Coast after 2 premierships with Richmond. Jonathan Patton has requested a trade to Hawthorn, pick 1 in the 2011 draft. So yeah, he was very injury prone, and I think he's just looking again for another fresh start. Cam Ellis-Yolman and Cal Marchi both want to go to Brisbane, so we'll keep looking out for that one. Jack Martin and Tom Papley, both Carlton, I think those will both get done. I think Tom Papley, there was a bit of a debate if he was going to North Melbourne or Carlton, but I think he preferred Carlton. Brad Hill will go to the Saints, I believe Noah.
Yeah, I got another inside inside word. I was at work yesterday and one of the guys said that they saw Bradley Hill's mum, and they asked him if he's definitely gone to the Saints, and he said yes. I'm sure Jack would probably know more than me playing for the Saints, but...
No comment there.
No comment. No comment. But, yeah, he's already requested a trade.
Yeah, well, he's only been at the Docks for 3 years, so it's a bit surprising, but... Yeah, and the last one I've got for the certainties is Josh Jenkins, Sam Jacobs, both one out. Jenkins, a Melbourne club, not sure exactly who. Sam Jacobs, GWS, after the Adelaide Grand Final in 2017, there was that camp, there's all this stuff, Dom Pye got sacked, so I think they're just going through this big phase, it's pretty interesting. A lot of people want out of Adelaide. I think they're having a big review. The ones I've got still in process is Joe Danaher to the Swans. I think he wants to go there, but what I've heard is Essendon really don't want to give him up, and they're going to do everything to make him stay. Orazio Fantasia, not sure about him. There's been a bit of talk about him going to Port, but not sure if a deal will get done. And last one I've got is Ed Langdon. Probably will go to Melbourne, but not sure. There's a lot of draft picks and sort of that sort of stuff that has to get sorted. So, any other trades, boys? Any other news?
I think you pretty much covered it there.
Yeah, most of the big names anyway.
A quick one was Gary Ablett said he was going to play another year.
Yeah.
Today, but yeah, other than that, I can't think of anything.
35, I think it's 36 next year, so good to see him going for another year. But yeah, we're going to get into the Q&As now. So these are from our Instagram followers. We put a post out. We've actually got a lot more than what we thought. So for Jack, first one is from James McGuinness, one of my mates. He says, what's it like to have played for Warwick Greenwood, H grade, not sure if that's correct, and an AFL club in the space of 12 months? Was it a downgrade from the tough training sessions down at Hawker Park?
I don't want to be shortchanged here. I played F grade for Warwick Greenwood, which is considerably better quality cricket. But no, I enjoyed playing for Warwick Greenwood last year. It was good to have a hit around and a bit of fun. But it's certainly, AFL training is certainly a step down from the intensity they run down at Warwick Greenwood.
Is it just like a lot of fat blokes playing F grade or?
Oh, you get a couple. Sometimes the umpires are really slow as well.
Yeah.
And if you get good mates with them throughout, whether you're batting or bowling, you'll get a few decisions that go your way.
How'd you go? Did you win any games?
We won. We won a few. We made the one day final and then lost. And we got knocked out in the semis of the 2 day comp. I did all right with a bat and ball. But I think my footballing ability exceeds my cricket.
Will you be playing again this season?
Definitely not. I won't be filling in, if you pardon the pun. This season is footy-based for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Turf at Large. What was it like playing your first game in the VFL against Coburg with Dan Hannabury in your side?
That whole week was just a complete rush, to be honest. I was just, you know, playing off adrenaline, to be honest. To go from playing for Subi 1 week and then lining up with Dan Hannanbury kicking the ball inside 50 the next week's a big change. So it was very exciting. Also to play with Max King, the same forward line as him, was pretty good, because you just sort of put it in his area and he'll catch most of the things that come his way. So that was really exciting, and it was good to see the differences between waffle and VFL footy. There's a lot of similarities, but they are quite different at the same time.
Is VFL like more faster because there's a lot more AFL-listed players, or...?
It's more contested because the grounds are a lot smaller.
Yeah,
you really take for granted how big Leadville Oval is over here. So that was a big difference for me, especially being at running tall forward, who, you know, you get out on leads into space. When there's not as much space there, it certainly makes the game more congested. But it also is a lot of fun, and there's a few thrills when you're lining up against AFL players, you know, like with Dan Hannanbury, and against players like Scott Selwood and a few of the Richmond boys as well, was pretty exciting.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Next question from at saints.afl. What was the most surprising thing about being a footy player? I think he's referring to AFL.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was thinking about this one, and I think it's just the way people sort of interact with you is a lot different. Like, I haven't changed at all as a person, and I'd like to think I haven't since I've been on a list, but it's funny how, you know, there's a Saints fan that can go up to be like, oh, hey, Jack Mayo, and I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's great, like, you enjoy it, but it is surprising coming from just being a normal bloke to a bit of a footy player, but you've got to try and stay cool, calm and collected, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one from the St Kilda Saints. What is the most annoying thing a teammate has done to you at training?
There's a few shenanigans at training. Nothing sticks out in particular, but there are a few lolly jars on the side of training. So between our drills, we'll go off, we'll have a drink and a bit of fruit and some lollies and stuff. And I like to steal Jono Marsh's lollies from his little lolly bag, because we don't all have lolly bags, so, but he does. So I like to pinch a couple from there and thank him along the way.
Yeah. From Valalonga, how much did having the name Jack play a role in the Saints picking you up, do you think?
Oh, probably huge. I thought.
I mean, was it eight Jacks? I think.
Yeah, I'm the eighth. So hopefully we'll play a game together next year. But there's a bit of a knack going on there, isn't there? Hopefully we'll get a few more this year as well.
Is it a bit confusing at training, or like calling for the ball? Or you
when I was
nicknames?
You got nicknames, but when I was learning the names of players at training, because you know you got to learn 47 other blokes' names.
Yeah.
If I was in doubt, I'd just call them Jack.
Next question from at Ethan McQuaid, sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. I heard your father is a country footy legend. Is that who you strive to be like when you're on the field? Also, what's it like being the favourite child?
Yeah, very funny, Ethan. Dad played footy in Kalgoorlie, Kalgoorlie Boulder, the Tigers. I wouldn't go as far as saying he was a legend, but from all reports, I heard he was an all right player. So while I take a few things that I'd like to play like him, I don't take everything. I think he was a bit of a sook. He had his knee bandaged up a fair bit, so I don't try and play like him too much, but maybe a little bit. And being the favourite child is awesome. The oldest brother always has to do most of the work, so Nick and Sam probably need to pull their weight a bit more now that I'm gone. But yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah. So next one is from Jack Loveridge, 23. What team did you go for growing up?
I was a mad Cats fan, as was all of our family. Dad's from over that way originally in country Victoria, so that's where that sort of came through. I wasn't complaining from 2007 to 2011 when they were winning all those flags, but insane. I'm a Saints man now.
Yeah.
Next question is from Nick Mayo. I hear you have a fear of the short ball. Can you elaborate on this? Do you get cold living in my shadow?
I think it's ironic Nick mentions bowling because he's got one of the worst actions I've ever seen. He bowls right arm over left ear almost. It's really ungainly and awkward to watch, which is why he's a wicket keeper. So, no, actually, I don't mind a pull shot. The short ball rising up sort of on the WA wickets bounce a bit more. And there's not much of a shadow to live in, Nick, because he's pretty scrawny. So I'm all right to outgrow that, I think.
Yeah.
Next question from @Saint_Tom66. What nicknames do you get?
At Subi, I got Condi, short for condiment, which I liked. At St Kilda, I've had Spreadsy, as in you're spreading the mayonnaise. I don't think it's the best, but it looks like it's the one that's sticking the most, I think.
Yeah. Next one here is from Ross.ch11. Where do you credit most of your success?
Probably mum and dad, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, they've played a large part of me growing up and becoming the person I am today. For a few years, as I briefly mentioned earlier, I was injured with a couple of knee issues and then shin splints. So they played a huge part in me getting through that and getting back to hopefully playing a good level of footy. So I hugely credit them, as well as some coaches along the way. So Bo Wardman, who you mentioned earlier, was the Colts coach, and he was great pushing me last year to my limits and really trying to get the most out of me, and he's done a fantastic job as Subi league coach now. And at St Kilda, I've had a bit of help from Aaron Hamill and a couple of the VFL coaches. Aaron's really good pushing you as well, so hopefully that relationship continues to go forward.
You mentioned Bo Wardman, but Jared Schofield was the league coach last year. Did you have anything with him? Did he ever give you any advice?
Yeah, I had a few chats with him. He knew my dad pretty well as well from dad's time coaching at Subi. So Scoey was a really hard taskmaster at times at Subi, from what I've heard, and really got the most out of that group, and is a huge reason why they've got such high standards and sustained success at the club.
Yeah.
But Scoey was really enthusiastic about his footy, but would also make sure you're giving it your all on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, he's at Port Adelaide now, so,
Next question's from Saints TV official. Who is the biggest role model at the club right now at St Kilda?
I love the way Josh Bruce goes about it on the field. He really attacks the ball at its highest point with real ferocity, which is something that I hope to maybe get in my game one day. So I'm certainly, from a forwards perspective, taking a lot of Leafs out of his books. And I love the way Seb Ross goes about it on and off the field. Like, he's so mature and responsible, and he really thrived being the standing captain for much of this year with Gears being injured. Probably those two that I look up to at the club.
Yeah. Ethan, over to you now for the sports quiz.
Thank you, everyone, for your Instagram questions. Hope we did all right with them. But we now have the quiz show, so we do this every week. It's going to be Noah versus Jack in the best of five question quiz, and you have to say your name to answer. So it can be obviously footy related.
Mm-hmm.
So first question is, how many AFL coaches were sacked in 2019?
Jack. I think five from earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, that's 1-0.
So early on.
Yeah.
Good listening.
Number two, what year did St Kilda last make the finals?
No.
Ooh.
Yeah.
2000 and... 2012?
Incorrect.
Jack. 2011.
Correct. 1 year
off. Do it, I
hear. Two now. Third question. Who was the 2019 Anzac Day medalist?
Noah. Jack.
I think Noah just.
Scott Pendlebury.
Correct. 2-1. So two questions left. Number four. What two players won the Glendening Allen medal in the two derbies?
Noah.
This year.
Yeah, this year.
Noah. Shannon Hearn and Brad Shepherd.
Correct.
Right. Here we go. Surely I don't get rolled. Like
it's 2-2. The next one is Who Am I? So, I played 334 games for St Kilda and Essendon and currently have a role in the media working with Fox Footy.
Jack. Brendan Goddard.
Yeah.
Yes.
The second part of the question was, I took a famous mark in the 2010 drawn grand final to put the Saints in front. So Brendan Goddard was correct. So 3-2 to Jack there.
Yeah. Well, Noah, you'll catch me next time.
Special guests seem to be doing very well in this segment. They always.
Who's beaten the special guests? Is it only you, Ethan?
Yeah, I think it'd be Midland maybe the first maybe. One.
Yeah. A bit Gus.
Yes. Yeah. And then I think I lost.
Harry Marsh beat you.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Reece Palmer.
They've all been pretty knowledgeable. Yes. So, yeah. Just before we finish up, boys, who are any predictions for the next 2020 season? Premiers? Early prediction?
Well, I have to think.
It's a bit early, but...
Yeah, I'll just think. If you've boys got any predictions now, because I've got no clue right now.
Richmond back-to-back.
You reckon they'll get a third premiership? Yep. I reckon West Coast. I reckon they'll... yeah, I think that, because they had only made the semi-final this year, I think they'll use that as momentum. I think they want to get back there, so I reckon West Coast. We won't ask Jack, because he's... obviously going to say the St Kilda Footy Club.
Saints win their second flag, I reckon, next year.
I reckon Jack Mayo for the Coleman medal.
Oh, that'd be great.
And the Brownlow?
A long shot.
Maybe the Brownlow as well. Maybe the Rising Star as well.
That'd be paying a bit in the multi, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I reckon, yeah.
I'd probably go Collingwood just after 2 years in a row, getting knocked out sort of thing. Obviously the prelim final this year and last year lost the granny. But yeah, that... I can't think of any other predictions like Coleman or Brownlow, so I won't be saying anything like that.
I'll put my Coleman and Brownlow predictions in. Brownlow medal.
N5.
N5 and Pete Cripps tie.
Tie. How many tie. Votes?
26 each.
26? It's a low count, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for Coleman, I didn't think about this one, but...
I'll go Tom Lynch for that. Tom Lynch for the Coleman.
He's in form.
I reckon Ben Brown.
Ben Brown. Yeah, surely he gets an All-Australian as well, because his last two or three years he's kicked like 50 goals and he hasn't got one single All-Australian, so he's a bit underrated. But yes. Bray, I believe you've got some big news for the summer ahead.
Yeah, of course. We'll get rid of centre square and we'll bring in centre wicket. I believe we'll be starting next week. We've got some Big Bash and WA players lined up to
be in contact with them,
so. Get on the show.
About F grade Warwick Greenwood players.
Yeah. Should get Nick Mayo on the podcast.
Oh, definitely.
Might get Jordan Smart on.
Oh, not, no. You know.
Well, yeah, of course. Make sure to stay up to date on our Instagram and Facebook at Centre Square Podcast. Anything else you want to quickly touch on, boys, at the end?
Just. Good Centre Square podcast. Looking forward to Centre Wicket, but yeah. Yes. Thanks, Jack, for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me, boys.
Yep. Yeah, see you for Centre Wicket.
Yes, yep. Get keen. Thanks for tuning in, guys. You're listening to Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. Thanks for your company, and enjoy the rest of your day.